Today's scripture lesson comes from the 12th chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a Jewish person who had been raised in exile in Babylon as the Babylonians, through the splitting of the empire of Israel, had become weakened and conquered. A group of Israelites were taken into captivity. After 70 years, Nehemiah had worked himself into a place of relationship and trust with King Darius of Babylon. And he petitioned the king if he could go back to his home and rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem and reestablish hope for gathering God's people. He gets back to Jerusalem, and many of you who know the story know that it's a difficult uphill sledge, but finally, with materials and a new beginning and vision, within a two-month period of time, Nehemiah had called people together, and they rebuilt the walls that would make secure the city. And in this scene that I'll read from scripture, they dedicate these walls. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites and all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with rejoicing and thanksgiving, with singing, cymbals, harps, and lyres, the kind you play with strings. The company of the singers gathered together from the circuit around Jerusalem and all the villages. It says that Nehemiah went up on top of these walls, which on average was between 40 and 42 feet high, on average about 8 feet 2 inches wide thick. So imagine now Nehemiah climbing up on the wall, and then as he gets there to consecrate or dedicate them, he turns to his right and he identifies like 25 people to get up there and be with him on the wall. All these people who had sweat and toiled and ached and hoped together started to crowd up on the wall, and then he calls people up onto the left and names them, groups of them that hover up and around the towers. And now with singers and choir leaders and musicians, at the end of this passage, they make great sacrifices and rejoice. In verse 43, it said that they made such a celebration of joy that people from all different villages around the city heard them singing. This is the word of God given to you, the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
So Nehemiah says, to make known the glory of God, to make safe a people who want to find his grace and grow together, to restore lives, to see them changed, to see the world even a better place in the end, he invites people to do something with him that never they could have done on their own. Nehemiah, the book, is filled with challenges, setbacks, criticisms, sweat, toil, raw hands, weary backs, setbacks, and delays. But in chapter 12, the dramatic change shifts from trial to joy. And the people begin to sing and use instruments of thanksgiving and celebration. Today, they say, today we celebrate what God has done, and best of all, maybe what yet God is yet to do. Even though their names are not all listed, Nehemiah talks about 822 different people who helped to reestablish the walls. When he saw the task before him, he was overwhelmed and came up with this remarkable idea. My son said it when he was just a kid one time at a church paint party. He said, Dad, it seems like sometimes 2 and 2 equals 6. If you were to paint the room alone, it would take forever, but when just a few hands show up, it's multiplied. So here's what Nehemiah does. He takes a mile, 0.7 worth of wall, and divvies up between 39 different groups, 35 sections of the wall. Each of them will essentially have 80 yards of territory to work on. Theologians and archaeologists agree that there were likely between 25 and 30 people groups in each section of the wall to work. And if you were to read the detail of it on your own, you'd be amazed. There were 12 daughters of one guy that got together on a wall, just a group of ladies with their pink work gloves. There was also a group of perfumers that are noted with a guy's name I could hardly pronounce. And in that section, it talks about these women who made and sold perfume, built a section. I pictured like a pink Cadillac pulling up, and then two or three of Mary Kay people, and they started to work there on that wall. And then there was a group of priests and Levites who usually don't like to work at all. That's why we do what we do. In fact, I went to a Habitat thing not too long ago and shook hands with this big, strong plumber, and he looked at my hands and said, "I've never felt hands so soft in all my life." But they were the priests. They were. They got a section of the wall, and they rolled up their robes and did their thing. And then there was a group who brought his harem, who was a notorious jerk, who at the beginning of the thing decided that he wanted nothing to do with it and criticized them, but somewhere in the watching of the people come together, his heart shifted. And this reptile began to work on the wall with a group of his girlfriends. If I had been Nehemiah, aren't you glad I'm not Nehemiah? I would have said, "Those people aren't allowed on my wall." There were a group of professional laborers. Good thing, theirs probably looks straighter and better. But that's just how it works in church. Sometimes it's crooked and lopsided and weird. And when you ask people to do stuff that aren't well-trained or well-prepared, it just doesn't turn out sometimes the way you want it. And sometimes better than you wanted it. There were a group of nobles from Tekoa. I picture them in their Armani suits, taking off their jackets and not sure really where to start, but they finished their section. They did. You read about it on your own. There were just these people who said, with a different sort of attitude, let's change the pronoun. Let's make this about us, about we, about our, about together with God. And then something happened that could have never happened on their own. Something really happened. They knocked themselves out, a group of goldsmiths and merchants. The most unlikely group of people, probably Trumpsters and people who like Biden. There were just all these different political groups and a variety of people who saw life and politics different. They came together and they built. "Let's build here," said Nehemiah, and they did. They prayed over, they rooted for. They got to know each other. I imagine they giggled together. I'll bet at times they were so frustrated, but I don't know. It just made me think. I'll bet they looked back on those days and thought these were the good old days right then. I think about the last year here and about what we've been through trying to recover from COVID and restart ministries and see the change in complexion that exists in the church. And rather than to force it in some mold, to watch what the Spirit is about to do in a new time, in a new setting, and in a new way. And then I think there's still people here who are willing to get together and build. They do it differently than sometimes we hoped and dreamed. But here, now, there are 45 people that are mentoring kids in local schools at risk, that are volunteering and rolling up their sleeves and sweating a little bit. There are people who provided thousands of funeral dinners for people who mourned over our time where we were secluded and where more people passed here than in the history of our church. There were people here who began to dream and said, "Let's build anyhow a space, even though it makes no sense, for kids with special needs, so they have a place in our church too and their families. A new youth center, a new kids' indoor playground, a place where people can gather." All of a sudden, life seemed to take on a picture that was bigger than us and our own selves. Some people said, "I'll come visit a person that's shut in. I'll see a hospital. I'll be a Stephen minister and walk with somebody who's had trouble." We have crews here that come now and cook, pick up food, and deliver through a changing Blue Bus ministry that's still ministering and feeding thousands of people on the Near West Side a year. And it makes me think today, even in our day and age, maybe we could just say for a moment, maybe these are the good old days. Maybe God still is really doing something in a broken world that are gathering people that don't look like, smell like, even think like each other. Hundreds of people now in groups, knee to knee, that are learning, growing together, that disagree on how to interpret Scripture and don't point fingers at each other saying, "You must not believe in the Bible because you don't believe in it the way I believe in it." It makes me think here that some hard work and some sweat and some toil might give way just to maybe a mill a moment today of a thing that says, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you for letting my eyes behold and my hands work and grow callous, and sometimes my heart even broken. Hundreds of you still gather to welcome foster children to a camp every year where we can offer to them the life-changing hope that Jesus gives to people who are broken like we are too. Talent, I think, is cheaper than table salt. Brains, more common than the sands of the sea. But what separates really success, I think, before God means to roll up your sleeves and do something for him. Oftentimes people watch the news and they cluck their tongue in judgment and say, something has to be done. But here, I think there are pockets of people that just get together and say, let's do something. And they do it with their hearts and they make a difference. Nothing worth having in the kingdom of God comes easily, always by grace, always by surprise, always by some mystery of Jesus showing up unexpectedly where we never dreamt he could, but simply to be together first and avail our hands and hearts to the work set before us. Tommy Lasorda, the one-time great baseball manager, said, the difference between the impossible and the possible lies in a person's willingness to do a little work and to see a vision of what can be done as a team. Nehemiah had a dream that a people could come together and throw a party and celebrate not only what God had done, but best of all, in the words of John Wesley, what God would yet to do. We gather and sing here because we know what's coming. And for every person who is beloved by Jesus Christ, we know that our past is forgiven, our presence makes sense, and our future has been secured by the shedding of his blood and the hope of his resurrection. What could happen to us if we hang together, because we know not only what's coming, but who's coming. Our hope is not rooted in an absence of pain or heartbreak or suffering as we labor together. Our optimism doesn't increase because we're around people who think like us and smell like us. Our hope is a true hope for the assurances of the rescues which God will bring to us as we stick together and pick up a brick and do what we can. This past year, we were trying to get more people involved in Habitat for Humanity to build homes and make differences for people who have no place to lay their head. And one person came here and dropped a check for 10 grand and said, why don't we build walls in our parking lot so people don't have to travel and it'll be like a gateway drug to get them involved. So next summer, we're going to do a wall build in our own parking lot so that people, young and old, can come like in the days of Nehemiah and hammer a nail right here and meet the homeowner who will receive those walls and roofs as we build them here. This past week, we've been trying not to talk about surplus and being behind on budget or all those kinds of things. We thought as we go through COVID, let people just give to God without thinking about the need of church, but our need to be generous with a God who's given us everything. We've been behind in our budget for the first time here, maybe in the history of our church, in the way that we were. We just said, let's just forget making a public deal and whining and complaining about it. We'll just see what the Lord does. A person stepped forward and dropped a check last week. You'll see it in the bulletin for $100,000. Said, I don't know what's happened in our church, but if there's something behind, make it up. And then whatever's left over, let's throw it at this building and get it down to as close to debt-free as we can moving in. There are rescues that come both financially and with the labor and toil of people's loving hearts to return something for Christ. Today, in just a moment now, we'll bring our cards forward as well as a symbol of our hearts. And we'll acknowledge that we live in a place where love reigns and forgiveness is free, where we can admit our wrongs and where we can quit judging others and the world around us. We can lead with humility. We can stoop with power to serve. We can share resources. And then we can just watch God make 2 + 2 into 6, 10, 12, or 115. We'll be together where we can mark that lives are still being healed here through healing care and a million other ways where stories are being heard and where Christ is being received. Today, we can be in a place where encouragement flows, and maybe just for a moment, we can stand on the wall together And we can give thanks that these are the good old days, that God is still at work despite our flaws and mistakes and troubles, and that Christ will never give up on building his body.